Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and their helper, the Holy Spirit. Amen. We celebrate All Saints' Day today. And it's this time of year, every year, that we are reminded not only of the saints who have left us this past year, but all of those saints who have gone before us. Those that we have never even heard of or known. And for some of you, this is a time of deep grief and mourning, as the pains of loss for you are still all too real. The cuts to your heart are still fresh. For others still, perhaps it's days like this that raise certain existential questions and bring those questions to mind, such as, what is the meaning of our existence here on earth? What is the point of all this death that we see and experience? Grief and mourning is hard. It's especially hard for the people who were closest to the person who died. It's also hard for people who have not yet experienced that same kind of grief or loss. It's hard for them to express empathy and support to something that they might not quite understand. So today I'll be focusing on this existential question: what is the meaning of our existence? What is the meaning of our existence, especially in times of grief and sorrow and mourning? To help address this question of the meaning of existence, I will be comparing and contrasting two possible answers. The first answer is a popular contemporary answer, example, and the second answer will bring us back to our reading of Psalm 130. So let us now consider this first answer to the question, what is the meaning of our existence? A memoir was written and released in 2006. That book spent 187 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. That's over 3 years. It sold over 10 million copies. In 2010, that same memoir was adapted into a film and then released. That film adaptation was pretty successful, bringing in over $200 million. The shared title of this book and film can still be seen all over the place, on bumper stickers, on laptops, on water bottles, even prints on shirts and hoodies. Three words: eat, pray, love. Unless you've lived under a rock since 2006, I am pretty confident you have at least seen those words somewhere. The basic premise of the book and the film adaptation is this: the protagonist and the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, goes through a divorce with her husband of 8 years. And then after that, going through that divorce, she's feeling pretty lonely and devastated. So she decides to go on this year-long quest to find herself, and essentially to answer that question, what is the meaning of existence? So on this quest, Gilbert spends 4 months in Italy, where she enjoys the culture and the food of that region. The expectation was that she would find joy in her life again. So the word eat in the title reflects the time that she spent in Italy. Gilbert then spends the next 3 months in India, where she attempts to find her spirituality and be more connected spiritually. So the word pray in eat, pray, love reflects the time that she spent in India. The rest of the year, Gilbert spends in Bali, where she attempts to try and find balance between the joy and the spirituality that she found in Italy and India. While she's in Bali, she ends up falling in love with this guy and marrying him, which is where the love part in Eat, Pray, Love comes from. According to Gilbert's own experiences that she went through and the memoir that she wrote, the meaning of our existence can essentially be summed up into those three basic words: eat, pray, and love. Existence is to eat, to pray, and to love. And clearly, with how popular the book and the film became, a lot of people agreed with that sentiment. Whatever the reason, the meaning of existence that was founded upon eat, pray, love, and just that whole cultural impact kind of died. It has essentially run its course. It's really not quite as popular anymore. As I mentioned, you'll see the word still around, but it's not a huge cultural phenomenon as it was like 10 years ago. Perhaps that itself is a testament for how lacking of an answer to the meaning of our existence it is. For one thing, the meaning of existence founded on eat, pray, love is one that's rooted entirely on yourself. You're looking for things to bring yourself pleasure and bring enjoyment and bring some type of feeling of connectedness with the world. But how can any of those things be true apart from the one true God? How could any of those three things of eating, praying, and loving bring any type of comfort to the grieving and the mourning? Even for Gilbert herself, who experienced this, the joy and pleasure she found from eating and traveling in Italy was fleeting. It was only temporary. The spirituality she found in India was also fleeting. And it certainly didn't lead to any real connection with God. And the love that she found in Bali was gone some years later as she inevitably got yet another divorce from the same person. That can't be all that existing means, can it? That can't be all that our existence offers us. Perhaps for some, that will be the only answer that they find. But for you, you have a deeper, faithful, and true answer to the question, what is the meaning of our existence? Contrasting Psalm 130 to eat, pray, love, there are also three words that answer the question of what is our existence: cry, wait, and hope. The first word, cry, is reflected in the first four verses of Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared. As children of God, we cry out to him from our depths. We ask and beg him for mercy. And what is more deep than the grief we bear from loss? And yet, often we just sit and remain silent. We sit in our own grief, on our own. We bear it alone. We bear it in the depths, and we bear it in utter silence. We feel as if we couldn't possibly feel sad because of the resurrection reality that we live in and the truth that we've been given that death is just temporary. Perhaps we might not feel that we are trusting enough when we're sad because of a loss. Or on the flip side, perhaps we feel that our emotions should just be ignored and stuffed down. After all, emotions just lead to more problems, right? We, especially in our Lutheran context, are very skeptical of emotions. We don't like to put much stock into them. They can be misleading and deceptive. Better to just avoid and stuff down and ignore. But what kind of existence is that? Walking around life as an emotionless shell. We should indeed be aware that emotions can be misleading and deceptive. But that doesn't mean we stuff down and ignore our emotions entirely. Emotions themselves are not wrong. God created us as emotive beings. It's God's will that we would experience and express emotions. That's how we build connections in the world. That's how we experience the world around us. If emotions were so wrong, then how come there are hundreds and hundreds of emotive words used throughout Scripture? If emotions were so wrong, then how come Jesus cried at the news of his friend Lazarus dying? As a part of the meaning of existence, God invites you to cry to him, to bear your burdens of grief and mourning and sorrow on his son who grieves and mourns for you and with you. The second word is wait. Wait comes from verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 130. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. And in his word, I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning. More than watchmen for the morning. We wait. In our grief and mourning, we wait for the Lord. One thing that is often said to those grieving is to wait. Because time heals all wounds. Don't worry about this because eventually this will all pass and you won't feel sad anymore. For those of you who have experienced grief and loss, whether recently or some years ago, you know that idiom is simply not true. With time, grief does not simply go away. It might not affect you in the same way as it did when it was fresh and new, but it's still there. I haven't experienced much personal loss myself. But I have walked with my wife who lost her mom 6 years ago. And I can tell you for her, the grief is still there. And it will always be with there because she will never again see her mom in this life. No amount of time is ever going to repair and heal that wound completely. No amount of time will ever bring her mom back to her. So to wait for the Lord is not to just wait around and do nothing and expecting that time is just going to heal everything and that everything is going to be repaired and just fine. Waiting for the Lord and on the Lord is trusting in his promises even in the midst of our grief. Even more than that, it's having patience and endurance. It's waiting for the Lord to act, waiting for him to come back again, because we know none of this mess that we're living with and living through is going to fix itself until he comes again. The truth is, waiting is hard. Waiting requires faith because we don't know how or when Jesus is going to be returning. We just know that it will happen. Waiting requires endurance because we have to live with this grief. We have to live and bear the many burdens of this life on account of sin. As Jesus commands us, it is our crosses to bear as his disciples. We wait because we know that the grief and the suffering that we bear now is but a short time compared to eternity. And as the psalmist implores us, we wait like watchmen for the morning. Right now we're watching and waiting in the darkness of night. On the horizon, we can kind of see a small glimpse of the sun starting to rise, but we still can't see around us, and our watch isn't over. Well, that sun that's starting to rise up will eventually rise in full that we might see again. And that sun is the sun, Jesus, who will come again in all glory and power and might. It's that same son, Jesus Christ, who also had to wait. He humbled himself by not acting with his divine nature. He chose not to act on his own authority, but only through the will of his Father in heaven. He had to wait in his own physical and personal sufferings. He had to wait through grief of rejection and ridicule. Jesus had to wait through his own people hating him, mocking him, stripping him, beating him, and killing him on a tree. As was suggested to him, he could have taken himself off of that cross at any moment and shown his full power. But such is Jesus' love for you, that he would willingly die and he would willingly suffer for your sake. So God invites you to wait for him and to wait with him. The meaning of existence is to cry out to God from our grief and suffering. It's to wait for God to act and to endure our suffering and the grief that we bear. It's also to hope. Hope finishes out Psalm 130. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. We hope in the Lord. That means we go forward in trust, knowing full well what awaits us. That means we live fully in the promises of God that have been given to us. The promises that we are forgiven by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The promise that we are loved truly and deeply by our Heavenly Father. And the promise that there is new life awaiting us. There's new life for all of us here today and for all of the saints who have gone before us. Hope is the reason we're able to bear our crosses of grief and suffering. Hope is the reason not only for us to grieve and to mourn, but to celebrate those who we've lost. You have the hope of the resurrection that is made yours by your Lord Jesus Christ. You have the hope that all the people you long to see, to touch, to hold, to kiss, to hug again, will be with you in the new creation. The hope is yours that death and loss are but the very beginning of a new perfect life made whole. The hope is yours of a reunion face to face with your Lord and Savior and your Heavenly Father. Our Lord Jesus hoped even to his final breath. He trusted in his Heavenly Father that his will was perfect and that even death could not hold him. So God invites you to hope in him and in his promises. One of my all-time favorite songs paints a pretty powerful picture of the hope that we have and the hope that we live in. It's titled "Death Has Died," and it's by a Christian hip-hop slash rap artist named Andy Mineo. So I invite you to listen as I read the lyrics of the second half of this song, and you don't have to worry, I'm not going to attempt to rap it. I'm not that skilled. So just listen to these words. "I hopped off the plane. My God, what a scene that I seen on that TV screen. People huddled around, hands on their mouth, not again, same problem. It hit a new town. 26 dead, 20 of them kids. Where do you begin when some lives just ended? And everybody got the question, if God's so good, how he let this happen? Is it mental health? Is it gun control? Is it we make superstars out of animals? Is it the movies we make, the video games? I don't know, but God, I want an antidote. All I know is this world is broken. Our sin is the reason it ain't like it's supposed to. Words fall short trying to comfort the grieving. But you got to know that there's hope to believe in. One day my God gonna crack the sky. He gonna bottle up every tear that we ever cry. Bring truth to every lie, justice for every crime. All our shame will be gone and we'll never have to hide. No more broken hearts, no more broken homes, no more locking doors, no more cops patrolling, no abusive words or abusive touches. No more cancerous cells that will take our loved ones. No more hungry kids, no more natural disasters. No child will ever have to ask where his dad is. No funerals where we wear all black, and death will be dead. Then we'll lock the casket." This is the hope that you have in Jesus. This is the hope that you cling to. This is the hope that he himself invites you to live in. So what then is the meaning of our existence? It is to cry to our Lord. It is to wait on him and endure our suffering. And it is to hope in his promises. So let us go forth as we cry, wait, and hope. Amen.